Blog Talk Radio.
Might as well put your hands together. Got joy in my soul. God is in control.
Tonight, you're now once again tuned into Are You, it's personal, are you a liability or an asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show? I am your host, Brother James Brown Jr., and we do come to you live from Hopper Woods, Michigan, each and every Thursday and every Saturday night from 8 until 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. On tonight, we have none other than Pastor Frederick Chapman will be delivering God's word on tonight again. He is a regular scheduled guest on this worldwide platform, and we're so grateful to have him to be a regular on this worldwide platform. So he will be delivering God's word on tonight very shortly. I'm asking all the listeners, if you will please get your Bibles, get your pens and your paper ready so that you can follow along as he gets ready to deliver God's word on tonight. In the meantime, we're getting ready to go to the throne of God in prayer. I am so grateful that we don't have to send God anywhere. He's everywhere at the same time. So I'm asking our listeners if you would touch and agree with me in prayer as we lift up all those that are bereaved on tonight, all those that are sick and afflicted. God knows exactly who they are and where they are. He knows exactly what they need. So we want to continue to lift up the family of our own member of Peace and Goodwill Baptist Church, faithful servant of God, a woman of God, Sister Dorlette Gardner. Her homegoing services will be taking place at Peace and Goodwill Baptist Church on this coming Saturday morning at 11:30 a.m. at the Peace and Goodwill Baptist Church. We want to continue to lift up the family of Mother Phillips, a member of the Greater Shield of Faith Baptist Church. We want to continue to lift up Mother Phillips' family. She made her heavenly transition. I just recently found this out. She passed away a couple of months ago, but her daughter, Prophetess Teresa Phillips Dox, her and her husband, Elder QT Dox, they are the ones that helped me get started with my radio ministry. So I was up on the Kingdom Builders ministry for over 3 years, and then the Lord took me out on my own. So I've been up under their leadership for the first 3 years of this ministry. This coming July will be 10 years. So I want to ask you all to continue to lift up Prophetess Teresa Phillips Dox, her entire family, her brother, Minister Bernard Phillips, and that entire family. Keep them in prayer. All those that have lost loved ones all over the land, we want to continue to lift them up in prayer. Keep in prayer, my sisters and brothers in Christ, that's cousins of Sister Dorlette Gardner, Tara Doss, and Brother Rob Mitchell. They're also members of the Peace and Goodwill Baptist Church, as well as other members of her family and cousins that I don't know their name, but God knows who they are. So we want to keep that entire family lifted up in prayer. And all those that are sick and afflicted, keep them in prayer that God would move by his spirit and have his way, because he knows what he's doing. And again, we are so grateful that we don't have to send God anywhere. He's already there. So I'm asking our listeners, if you would touch and agree with me in prayer as we go to God in prayer on tonight. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, your Son, we come once again on tonight giving you glory, honor, and praise for who you are. We bless your name because we know that you are worthy to be praised. We know that there is none like you in all the earth. We thank you that you still have and hold all power in heaven and in earth. It's in your hands. We thank you that you change not. You are a faithful God. You are a faithful promise keeper. You're still watching over your word to perform it in the lives of your people for your glory in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, I ask that you would forgive me of all of my sins and transgressions, my entire family, Pastor Frederick Chapman and his entire family, and every saved believer all over the land. Forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions so that our work for you on earth will not be in vain, is our prayer in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy that you extend to each one of us. We don't deserve it, but we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we come lifting up all those that are bereaved, the names that we just called off. We thank you that you are in every place at all times. You know who they are. You know what they stand in need of. So we lift up the family of our beloved sister, Dorlette Gardner, whose homegoing will be this coming Saturday at the Peace and Goodwill Baptist Church. We lift up our pastor, Mark C. Holloway, and you would give him the strength, because as we know that as a man or woman of God that's over your people, when they lose a faithful member of that member of their congregation, we know that it's got to be hard on them. And so we ask that you would give him the strength that he needs to get through this. And we continue to lift up Sister Gardner's family. We lift up all those that have breathed all over the land in the name of Jesus. Have your way, Lord, that you get the glory. Now, Lord, we pray that you would move by your spirit through this worldwide platform. We pray that you would move by your spirit on tonight as you use your man of God, Pastor Frederick Chapman, through your word, that your word will go forth with power on tonight, that those that are listening on tonight will hear your word and receive your word on tonight. They will be blessed and encouraged by your word. And it's our prayer in the name of Jesus that should there be any listeners that's not saved in the name of Jesus on tonight, that they will hear this word on tonight, they will receive your word, they will confess their sins, and ask what must they do to be saved in Jesus' name on tonight. And that you will be glorified through this broadcast on tonight is our prayer in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would help us to decrease so that you may increase in each one of us individually and then as a corporate body of believers on tonight, that you get the glory is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as usual, we always have a scripture food for thought. And it comes to us on tonight in the form of another question. Are you, it's personal again, are you truly doing your part to upbuild God's kingdom? The spiritual food for thought for tonight is as a form of a question. It's personal. Are you truly doing your part to upbuild God's kingdom? I do welcome all comments and feedback from all listeners. You can always email me at all lowercase, james_brown1558@yahoo.com or on Facebook. Please take note that I do not own the copyrights to any songs or music played on this worldwide platform. Once again, we want to thank God for opening the doors. This is a worldwide ministry, and God has now opened the doors for prisoners all over the United States to be able to hear this worldwide ministry platform and be blessed by God's word. So we just thank God for what he's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. He is doing great things through this worldwide ministry. So we know that it's not in vain, and God is being glorified through it. I give God the praise for what he's doing through this platform, because we know that it's not about us. It's all about him. It's all about his son, Jesus Christ. It's all about his word going forth that he will get the glory. We can ready to go to our music break right now. But once again, I'm asking you all to keep my pastor. I want to give a shout out to him right now, Pastor Mark C. Holloway. And my church family, I want to give a shout-out to them. We're asking for prayers for us because, again, we have lost a faithful member of our congregation. We know that it's hard on Pastor Mark C. Holloway because he has recently buried other close members of his family. And so not only him, but any pastor that have lost a faithful member of their congregation, we know it's got to be rough. It's got to be hard on them when they have to stand over that person, over that loved one, and do the eulogy. So we want to continue to lift him up in prayer that God will give him the strength to get through this on this coming Saturday. We get ready to go to our music break, and then we're going to come back. We're going to yield the mic to Pastor Frederick Chapman as he gets ready to deliver another word from the Lord on tonight. And once again, I pray that you have your Bibles, your pens and paper ready to follow along. Enjoy the music break. Yes, yes, yes. What a mighty God we serve. That Jesus thought that your life and my life was worth living, that he paid our sin debt on the cross. He paid a debt that he did not owe, but he knew it was a debt that we could not pay. So he came down from glory and shed his precious sinless blood on the cross, and he died for us, and he rose for us. Thank God he rose, just like he said he would. I'm so grateful that he thought that we was worth dying for, so that we can live again and be with our Heavenly Father, our Creator, for all those that accept him as God's Son and believe in our hearts that he is God's Son, and he died on the cross for us, and he died, but he didn't stay dead. He rose just like he said he would. So thank God for Jesus on tonight. Once again, I pray that you have your Bibles, your pens and paper ready to follow along on tonight with the word. But please mark your calendars. This coming Saturday night, Pastor Norman King, the pastor of the Victors Outreach Ministries, my first cousin from Greensboro, North Carolina, will be delivering God's word on this coming Saturday night. Next Thursday night, we will have Overseer Joseph E. Jackson out of Washington, D.C. he will be delivering God's word. He delivered God's word over this worldwide platform every third Thursday night. Overseer Joseph E. Jackson out of Washington, D.C. So that being said, and once Pastor Chapman has concluded with tonight's message, I will be opening up the phone lines for any of you that have dialed in. If you have a question for him pertaining to tonight's message, or if you want to give him words of encouragement, you would have an opportunity to do so following the word. After he had delivered the word on tonight, you would have an opportunity to speak with Pastor Frederick Chapman. Pastor Chapman, I now yield the mic to you.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. Thank you so much again, Brother Brown, for inviting me here to teach God's word. I love the word of God. I love teaching the word of God. Again, I am Pastor Frederick Chapman. I pastor the New Beginnings Bible Church of Detroit along with my wife, Pastor Rochelle Chapman. Shout out to our church family who may be tuning in and listening in tonight, and to you, my brothers and sisters who have come here to this Thursday evening teaching. And we appreciate you, and we know that you could have been anywhere else, but you decided to join us here on tonight. We want to encourage those who may be incarcerated, those who may be behind bars right now. We encourage you even where you're at right now. And so we thank all of you wherever you are listening and wherever you're dialing in from. And so we are grateful for another opportunity to be able to share the word of God with you on tonight. Tonight we're going to look at Matthew chapter number 6. So we'll go ahead and grab your Bibles if you have not already. Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to be looking at verse number 25 through to 34 on tonight, okay? Tonight's lesson is going to be about overcoming worry. And so if you want a title tonight, I'm going to just tell you simply, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it, okay? And so we're going to use this passage in Matthew as our foundational passage. We may hit other passages while we're doing this one, but we want to thank God for it. Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, God, for all of those who are listening tonight. We're praying in the name of Jesus that your spirit will speak tonight, that your spirit will encourage us tonight, that your spirit will lift us tonight, God. We need you, Father God. We need you more in this season than we've ever needed you before. And we pray, Lord God, that you will be glorified, God, through this process, God. We thank you so much, God, for your word tonight. We ask that you would speak, God, that we may hear you clearly, Father God, where there will be no mistake that you're speaking to us individually and collectively. We love you and we thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, brothers and sisters, we're going to jump right in tonight. All right, we are at Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 through to verse number 34. It is a very familiar chapter and verses that we're going to cover tonight. And so let's go ahead and read. I'm going to be reading out of the New King James Version. You may have another version, but you can still follow along with us on tonight. The Bible says, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life. I want you to underline that. What you will eat or what you will drink or nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. I want you to pay attention to that. Are you not more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field and how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory was arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, Will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. I want you to underline that. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. I want you to underline that as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Brothers and sisters, we have to understand that worry can be a problem. That it could be a problem not just for you, but for all of us. Worry is something that we need to be able to get a hold of very early in our walk with God. We need to understand that we are never alone in our situation. We must understand, first of all, that worry is rooted in fear. It is the fear of the negative outcome. Fear is inverted faith. What does that mean? It means that we don't want something to happen, right? But we have the fear and belief that it will, right? And you know that by definition in Hebrews chapter number 11, verse 1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Well, fear is inverted faith, where we believe, even though we don't hope for the worst, we believe that the worst will happen. Worry also, brothers and sisters, gives birth to anxiety. I know a little bit about this. Consider that I've struggled with anxiety in the past, and God has allowed me to overcome it. When you have anxiety, you are in constant worry, right? You're in constant worry of something negative happening. And then not only can you go from the anxiety, but you can also step into what is called panic, right? Where now your worry has taken over you, and it begins to, you begin to carry out certain things within your body, right? It could be shaking, it could be sweating, it could be pacing the floor, right? This is when anxiety is at its height, right? And many will call it a panic attack. Your breathing starts to change. And one of the things that we must understand, brothers and sisters, is that we don't want our worry to take us too far, because worry also can deal with your imagination, right? You're imagining that the outcome is going to be bad, that the outcome is going to be negative. And so here, brothers and sisters, Jesus gives a parable, really a parable of having us to trust him, to have faith in him when it comes to our provisions in life. One of the things that you need to understand out there right now is that God is your provider, that God is the supplier of every one of your needs. I don't care if the need is emotional. I don't care if the need is physical. I don't care if the need is financial, right? If your need is mental, God will give you exactly what you need. One of the things that I want to encourage you to do, brothers and sisters, is really take hold of, man, how much do I really worry, right? What is it that I'm concerned about at this stage in my life? What am I concerned about in my life right now, today? And many of us, brothers and sisters, we live with worry. You know, we are worried about our finances. We're worried about how we're going to be taken care of, whether we're going to have enough money to pay the bills at the end of the month or the middle of the month or whenever you are supposed to be paying them or they're due. And sometimes, brothers and sisters, this can become overwhelming for some people, right? It can be overwhelming to wonder how in the world you're going to get food, right? Or how are you going to get some more clothes, right? And some of us, we have more clothes than we know what to do with, but that is not everybody's testimony. So there are some people who may be in need right now. You may need some new clothing. You may need some durable clothing, right? There's some people who worry about different things, their health, right? They've gotten a doctor's report that has been bad, right? They've gotten a bad report, and they find themselves, brothers, worried about their health and whether or not they're going to survive what the doctor told them. And the fact is, brothers and sisters, is that God wants us not to worry. We need to understand that worry is faithlessness. I want you to write that down. Worry is faithlessness, okay? Worry is not just I'm scared, but worry is rooted in fear. Remember that fear is inverted faith, so you have to understand that there is a faithlessness when it comes to worry. Here's the thing that you want to understand. Jesus starts out this parable, story here, right? He starts this word off in verse number 25. He says, therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, right? Look at that there. He says, do not do it, right? That means that if he could command you not to, that means that you have the power not to worry. Come on, I'm going to say it again. That if he commanded you not to worry, which means that worry is in your control, right? You may say, Pastor, how can I control worry? It's in my mind. It's on my mind all the time. But Jesus tells us not to, which means that worry is in our control. Now, I love it here that Jesus said, don't worry about your life, comma, right? In other words, all that is encompassing your life right now, you don't need to worry about it. I know that you're facing difficult times right now, and people don't know how hard it is, and people don't know what you're facing behind closed doors, right? But I want you to understand that there is nothing in your life to worry about. I'm going to say it again. There is nothing in your life to worry about. And some of us, they say, Pastor, that's easy for you to say. You don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what I'm facing. Well, Jesus knows what you're going through. Jesus knows what you're facing. And he tells you, whatever that situation is, whatever it is, don't worry about that. Don't worry about it, because God knows the end from the beginning. Have you ever worried about something that worked out? I'm going to say it again. Have you ever worried about something that worked out? It didn't, come on, turn out how you thought it was going to happen, and you wipe that sweat from your brow and say, thank God it did not happen to me the way I thought it was going to happen to me. Listen, you did all of that worrying, right? I want to tell you, worrying is like a rocking chair. I'm going to say it again. Worrying is like a rocking chair. You're moving back and forth, back and forth, but you're not going anywhere. Come on. Listen, you're rocking back and forth, but you're not going anywhere. You're in the same spot. Worry is a coping mechanism for things we can't control. I'm going to say it again. Worry is the coping mechanism from things we cannot control. You need to understand that whatever you're worried about, you got to ask yourself, can I control it? Can I do something about it? And if you cannot do anything about it, then you cannot worry about it. I'm going to say it again. If you cannot do anything about it, then you cannot worry about it. Many people are worried about stuff in their life that they cannot do anything about at all. They can't control the outcome. Listen, and so they worry and worry. They're staying up all night, right? Some worry and cry, some worry and eat. Listen, some worry and stay up all night. And I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, that God wants your life to be a worry-free, a carefree life, okay? Now, here, after he says, don't worry about your life, he says, what you'll eat, what you'll drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. See, he's giving us the first point. Perspective. Come on, somebody say perspective. Listen, our perspective is how we look at things, right? He says to us, don't worry about what you will eat, what you will drink, or about your body. Many of us, this is not our worry. We're not worried about our food, right? You know, we're not worried about what we're going to drink, right? We're not worried about our clothing or what we're going to wear. See, we've grown to that part where we don't worry about this, but this is talking about any provision that you may have for life. Understand that he said in the beginning, don't worry about your life. He mentions the food and the drink and the clothing because these are things that we need. I'm going to say it again. He mentions the clothing. He mentions the food. He mentions the drink, right, because these are needs that we have. He's saying that there shouldn't be anything in your life that you need to worry about. I'm going to say it again. There shouldn't be anything in your life that you need to worry about. You don't need to worry about any of your needs being met when you are a child of God. I'm going to say it again. You don't need to worry about any of your needs being met when you are a child of God, because God wants you to understand that these things will be supplied. Listen, he says, is not life more than food? See, first of all, he's giving them perspective, right? He says, life. Is it life more than food, right? See, in order for us not to worry, our perspective has to change, and we have to begin to prioritize things in our life. Listen, is this so important that you need to worry about it? Come on, is this that serious that you need to be losing sleep over this? Come on, is this, so serious where, you know, you fasting without trying, right? You're not eating well. You're not sleeping well. Come on, you're not really doing well. Listen, you need to get your perspective together, and the Word of God is that place where you can get your perspective on things. And so Jesus, what he is doing now is trying to give the people perspective. Now, he says, look at the birds of the air, right? He says, in other words, let's look at nature, right? Let's look at the creatures of the air. Let's look at what he says here. He says, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Now, anybody ever seen food on the ground? We've seen people feeding birds. We've seen people drop their sandwiches on the ground and all of those other things, right? And here come the seagulls. Here come the birds of the air, right? People think that they just ended up dropping it. I did it by mistake, but guess what? It was meant for you to drop because God allowed those birds to eat because you dropped that cookie, because you dropped that bread, because you dropped that sandwich, right? God feeds the birds of the air. God can feed them with the worms that are in the ground. Understand that whatever it is that the world needs, God has already provided. I want to say it again. Whatever it is that the world needs, God has already provided. Do you know that there is a plethora of provision for you? Come on. There is a plethora of provision that is there for you. So not only do you have to get perspective, you have to also know that there is provision for you. Now understand here, he says, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Watch this. Are you not more value than they? God says, if I take care of these birds, why don't you believe I could take care of you? Listen, I love to read this scripture while looking outside, right? In the morning, right? Seeing the birds fly. They not worried about no food, right? I've never seen a bird looking around and with a sign in their hand saying, I will work for food or I need help. I've never seen a bird. Maybe you've seen a bird with a sign on them that says, listen, I'll work for some food or I need some food or please help. You've never, ever seen a bird, come on, with that type of sign, because that bird has all its provisions and its needs met for that particular bird. And I want to tell you that whatever it is that you need, it will be provided. I'm going to say it again. Whatever you need, it will be provided. Matter of fact, it is already in existence. If you need more money, it's already in existence. If you need healing, it's already in existence. If you need favor, it's already in existence. If you need a promotion, it is already in existence. Everything that you are in need of, it has already been supplied. And so here he says, do you know how valuable you are, right? You are much more valuable than they. I want to pause and stick a pin right here because you need to know how valuable you are to God. You need to know that God cares for you. You need to know that God doesn't want you worried about anything, that he's going to take care of you no matter what the situation is. If you are in need of help, God will help you. If you are in need of money, God will help you. If you're in need of healing, God will help you. You are that valuable to God. You need to understand that when God created the heavens and the earth, and he put all the animals, made the sea creatures, you are the only creature that God made in his own image. I'm going to say it again. You are the only creature out of all of nature that God made in his own image. He did not make the giraffe after his image. He did not make the cow after his image. He did not make the spider or the ant after his own image. He did not make the monkeys after his own image. No, he made you after his own image, and he gave you dominion, and he gave you power, and he gave you authority just like he has in heaven. He gave you that same authority on the earth. You need to understand that that's how valuable you are to God, that he will make you a reflection of himself. Listen, in order for you to be able to activate the power of faith here on earth, I want you to understand that you need to speak your own provision tonight because it is available to you. It belongs to you. And here he says in verse 27, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? Can you make yourself grow taller? Come on. Can you add one inch to your stature? Can you add any inches to how tall you are right now without putting on no heels or shoes with heels on them? No, you can't grow yourself. See, worrying is like trying to add, come on, an inch to your stature, trying to add 2 inches to your stature, right, by worrying. You can't do that by worrying. Listen, you can't add no inches to your stature by worrying about it. And this is how crazy worry is. And this is what he's saying. Worry is useless because it doesn't do anything. I'm going to say it again. Worry doesn't do anything. Brothers and sisters, we worry about stuff. Come on, and we can't. That doesn't do anything. That doesn't help the situation. You need to understand that God doesn't want this type of anxiety and fear to be your portion. Now, let's go ahead and read a little bit further. The Bible says, so why do you worry about clothing? Listen, I want to pause there because he asks a question why, right? He says, why do you worry about clothing? But it could be anything. So the question becomes, listen, if your perspective is going to be right, you have to ask yourself, why am I really worried? What am I really worried about? In other words, what's the worst that could happen, right? What's the worst could happen? Why am I worried? And whatever the why is, is your why bigger than God? I'm going to ask you that again. Is your why, right, bigger than God? Your why can't ever be bigger than God. Why you're worried about something can't ever be bigger than God. I want you to understand that he says here, and why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, right? He's still working with perspective, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet, watch this, And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. See, he's showing how extravagant God's supply is, right? He's saying, you got to now look at the lilies. They don't work at it, right? They don't spin. They don't toil, right? This text isn't tell us that we shouldn't work at all, because the Bible says if a man doesn't work, he doesn't eat. But this Bible does tell us that anytime we feel like, you know, we have to, you know, work to get everything, come on, that God is going to supply us, then we will find ourselves in that place of worry. And God says here to us, look at the lilies of the field. They don't spin. They don't sow, right? They just grow, right? Because God has put them in the right atmosphere. He has put them in the ground, right? He's put the soil underneath. He provides the rain and the sun for them, right, to grow. Here, he says Solomon wasn't even dressed like this, and Solomon was the richest king that ever lived, right? He was one of the richest kings that ever lived. God not only gave him riches, but he gave him wisdom, but he uses Solomon here to as an example of wealth. I want to tell you that your God is a wealthy God. Your God is a rich God. Your God is an abundant God. What is it that you are afraid to ask God for when God had the gold is his, the silver is his, right? He used Solomon in this example to show his wealth. That God is richer than Solomon. God has more abundance than Solomon. Understand, he says that, listen, Solomon could dress, right? But Solomon didn't beat me at dressing these lilies, right, of the field. Listen, Solomon had riches, but his riches, listen, are pale in comparison to what I got. And I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, that whatever it is that you're worried about, considering your financial situation, your health situation, your body, whatever pain you may be going through, whatever the worry is with your children, some things you have to just give to God, because there are some things that you cannot control. Many times we try to control things, and this is why we worry. Many times, if we can't control it, we worry about it, right? I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, that God is driving the car. You cannot be a backseat driver trying to tell God where to go and who, where to turn. God knows what he's doing. God knows where he's going, and you need to be able to rest in that. I'm going to say it again. You begin to rest in that because you are confident in the God whom you serve. You're not by yourself. You're not alone. Watch this. The Bible says in verse number 30 here, he says, now if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? See, he gives us the problem here. He gives us the problem. He says, here, you of little faith. He says that the grass I'm taking care of is gone. Come on, it's here in the morning and can be gone in the afternoon, dies, right? Grass is growing, dying, but God keeps it moving. If you see here, he says, listen, if this is how God does, listen, the grass and the lilies of the field, right, which is here today and gone tomorrow, listen, how much more? Listen, he called you. He says, you of little faith. Understand that he didn't say that they didn't have faith at all. He says they had little faith. And I want you to understand, brothers and sisters, this tells us that we need to continue to grow in our faith, because God doesn't want your faith to be little. And listen, I'm going to say it again. God doesn't want your faith, brothers and sisters, to be little. God doesn't want you to have little faith. He wants you to have great faith. I want you to say that to yourself a couple of times tonight, that God wants me to have great faith. I will not have little faith. I'm going to say it again. God wants me to have great faith. I will not have little faith. You need to declare that to yourself. He says, listen, O you of little faith, watch this. Then he comes back. Right? In verse number 31, right? He says, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? Now, notice here, brothers and sisters, that he says, therefore, do not worry, saying. Many times when we worry, we talk a whole lot about what we worried about. We'll tell our neighbor what we're worried about. We'll tell our family what we're worried about. We'll talk to ourselves about what we're worried about. We'll listen to what other people are worried about. And the fact of the matter is that life and death are in your tongue, right? And those who love it will eat its fruits. Understand, brothers and sisters, you can't speak about everything that you're worried about. Listen, if you want to speak about it, you need to pray about it. Listen, I'm going to say it again. If you want to speak about it, pray about it, but don't go around declaring your worries, because your worries will come to life, because you're in your tongue is the power of life and death, right? It's in your tongue, so you can give life to worry or you can give death to worry. I'm going to say it again. You can give life to worry or you can give death to worry. Listen, if you say, I ain't going to even worry about it, listen, you just put worry to death. And I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, that you have to learn how to decide. Come on, you need to learn how to decide, right? That word decide is C-I-D-E, right? You've heard of suicide. You've heard of pesticide. You've heard of genocide, right? Right? You've heard of homicide. All of those things that have side, right, at the end means to put to death. And I'm here to tell you, you need to decide to put the worry that you're feeling to death. You need to have the worry put to death in your life by speaking, I am not going to worry about it. Understand, brothers and sisters, that many of us have this worry on our shoulder, but we need to understand, we need to get it off of us. Come on, you need to declare tonight, I'm going to get worry off. Listen, I can't do nothing about it. It's in God's hands. Come on, I can't do anything about it. Listen, it's in God's hands. But you got to put the word of faith inside of your mouth. Are you here? And you got to begin to take whatever you're worried about in the prayer. I want to pause here from Matthew chapter number 7, and I want you to go over to Philippians chapter 4, okay? Your Bible students may know where we're going, okay? I want you to go over there really quickly, all right? Very quickly, okay? That is Philippians, and I'm turning my Bible. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hopefully you turn in your Bible. Amen. Philippians, okay? Okay, Philippians chapter 4, okay? All right, and we're going to look at verse number 4. Well, actually, let's go down to 6, okay? We'll go down to 6, all right? Let's go to 6. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, I want you to underline that, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Do you see that? Paul tells the church at Philippi, he says to be anxious for nothing, right? In other words, don't worry about anything, right? Don't worry about anything. He says, this is what I want you to do instead of being anxious. I want you to pray about everything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Here, the thing that you need to understand is that you need to put the words of thanksgiving in your mouth. You need to pray to God and thank him. Thank you, Lord, for what I have. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in my life. Thank you, God. And some of you may need to write down some things that you're thankful for before you start praying. And that may be an exercise that you can do instead of worrying. Listen, anytime you begin to worry, I want you to write down everything you're thankful for. And then I want you to take that list before God and begin to thank God one step at a time, one thing at a time, and you're going to see that the peace of God begins to come over you. Listen, you can make your requests known to God. Listen, you can tell God, listen, what you're feeling. Listen, but you can also make your request. God, I know that this is what it looks like, God, but I want this particular outcome. God, I thank you, God, that you hear my prayer, right? I did a whole series on prayer over Facebook Live these past few weeks at our Facebook Live for New Beginnings Bible Church. If you're ever on Facebook, look us up, and that series can be found there on how the appropriate way to pray. But here, brothers and sisters, I want you to understand that it says that you can make your requests known to God, right? Not that God does not know them, but that you can hear yourself, right? You can hear yourself, and so that God asks you to ask him, right? Ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened. And that can be found in Matthew chapter 7, amen? And so here, brothers and sisters, you want to begin to understand that he says, and the peace of God. Listen, there. When you are worried, you don't have the proper peace, right? See, God wants you not only to have your perspective right, he not only wants you to have the provisions that you need, but he wants you to pray, right? But he also wants you to have peace at the end of the day. Listen, those who are worried don't have the peace, right, to go to sleep. They don't have the peace, right, to function. Sometimes our worries can be debilitating. Remember, I told you the process can go from worry to anxiousness to panic. And you need to understand that God wants to take you through each and every place where you hurt. And I'm here to tell you that he will. Now, let's go back to Matthew chapter number 7, right? And we're going to look at verse number 31 again. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, right? What shall we drink, or what we shall wear? For after all of these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. Understand here, when he says Gentiles, right, he's talking about those who don't have a covenant with God. Listen, we didn't receive a covenant with God until the death of Jesus Christ. So when he's saying Gentiles, he's talking about people who don't have a covenant with God, who don't have a relationship with God. He says that the Gentiles worry about all these things. People in the world worry about all these things, but you got a covenant with God, right, through the blood of Jesus Christ. And here he is telling you that the Gentiles run after all of these things. Listen, you shouldn't be worried about the economy like everybody else is worried about the economy. You shouldn't be worried about, listen, whether this is going up and the price of food is going up, gas is going up, and rent is going up. No, I decided I got to give all of that stuff to God. Whatever it is that I need, he knows what I need, and whatever it is that I need, I'm going to have a great supply. Amen? I'm going to have an abundant supply. So here, brothers and sisters, he tells us, right, that the Gentiles running after all of these things. See, he's trying to give us principle, right? Now he is about to not only give us principle, but he is about to give us the priority. Here it says in verse 33, but seek the kingdom, right? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you or given to you as well. Here he says, but seek first the kingdom. Listen, seek the king's dominion, right? Seek the king's dominion, right? He's telling us to seek God, to seek his kingdom, right? To seek the will of God, right? To seek God's will for your life, right? He tells us, and his righteousness, right? We know that our righteousness is inherited, imputed righteousness because of Christ dying on the cross for us, right? So to have his righteousness, it means to be right with God, to be right with him, right? To have a right relationship with him, right? To have right standing with God. And he says, when you have this, all these other things will be given to you. Then in verse 34, he says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. See, some people are worried, what's going to happen tomorrow? What's going to happen next week? He says, listen, tomorrow will worry about itself, right? Its own thing. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And so here, brothers and sisters, learning to seek God's kingdom, regardless of what you're going through, seek God. No matter what you're going through, draw nearer to God. Concentrate more on your relationship with God, right, and your right standing with him and your relationship with him more than you focus on what you're worried about. And so tonight you may be worried about something, right? I'm telling you, put it on the altar so that it could die tonight, right? Put it on the altar where you could sacrifice your worry tonight, right? Put it to death, right? And I'm here to tell you, not to worry about it because God has already got it. I love you all. Thank you so much for joining us here on tonight. And we're going to put it back into the hands of our host, James Brown.
Amen. Praise the Lord so much. Thank you, Pastor Chapman, for that word on tonight. I know that word was for me, and it was for someone else that's on the line tonight. This word was for someone that's incarcerated behind prison bars. This word was for someone that's on social media platforms around the world. So this word was a much-needed word for such a time as this. That's what I love about God, and I love about this platform. When men and women of God come forth sharing the word of God, God already knows who's going to be listening, and he knows what we all stand in need of. So thank you so much for being obedient to God, Pastor Chapman, and delivering this word on tonight. So right now, I'm ready to open up the phone lines for all of you that have dialed in. As we know that we do have a lot of people that dial in, but they don't say anything. But we do. Hold on just 1 second. Chat and block somebody up. I'm trying to make sure I got them. Hold on. I don't know where that's coming from. That's not the one. I think I got it. Okay, that's the one I wanted to block. Okay. As I've said, I'm getting ready to open up all the phone lines right now for all of you that have dialed in on tonight. Thank God for you for taking time out of your schedule to dial in, to be blessed by God's word through the man of God on tonight, through Pastor Frederick Chapman. Thank God for each one of you. Right now, the phone lines are open for those of you that have dialed in. If you have a question for Pastor Chapman on tonight pertaining to tonight's message, or if you just want to give him words of encouragement, you have an opportunity to do so now. The phone lines are open. Anyone? Praise the Lord. Anyone?
A great message, Pastor Chapman.
Okay, go ahead. I had to block somebody out. Go ahead. Go, young lady, go. I'm sorry I had to start you all over again. Could you please repeat that again, please?
Great message for this evening, Pastor Chapman. This is Wendy Dinkins James.
Yes.
Yeah, yes.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Hi. God bless you.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much, Wendy. Thank you so much. Anyone else? The phone lines are still open.
What a powerful kind of word that was right on time. And I thank God for that word, Pastor Chapman. You keep on keeping on up God's highway and watch what he do for you and your wife.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
God bless you. Amen. Thank you so much, Terrible Doss. Anyone else? The phone line is still open.
Thank you, Pastor Fred, for your message tonight. It really helped me. I've had a really trying week. Just things like Satan's out to steal, kill, and destroy. And your message has just really helped me. And about the example about the rocking chair just really hit me hard. And I am going to definitely remember that. And it just really hit home.
Thank you so much, Sarah. I appreciate you too.
Amen. We thank you so much. We're just going to keep you in prayer. And you stay close to the Lord. You stay in God's spirit because God is not through with you yet, young lady. He has so much for you to do that you're going to give God glory. even through your testimonies. So you continue to dial into this worldwide ministry to be platformed and be blessed by God's word. And stay encouraged. I just want to say on tonight, we get ready to close off for tonight. Once again, Pastor Chapman, I just personally want to say thank you once again for coming forth, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ and sharing God's word to his people on tonight, because we all need to be encouraged. If we don't know how to encourage one another, encourage yourself in the Lord. So you got to know who the Lord is and be in his word in order to encourage yourself. You got to know who God is, and you got to have a relationship with him. That's what I'm talking about. You got to have a personal relationship with God. You got to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, his son. And then, so that's why it's so important that we know God's word and we know how to pray and get a prayer through to God, because he will hear and answer our prayers.
That I'm sorry, brother, with somebody else trying to say, I think it was somebody else.
Go ahead. Hello, anyone else? Hello? Was someone else trying to say something before we close out? I don't want to leave anyone out. Praise the Lord. Okay, well, we thank God for you anyway. Thank you so much, Pastor Chapman. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come as your children and giving you glory, honor, and praise for who you are. We bless your name. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you still watching over your word to perform it in the lives of your people that have been faithful doers of your word, not just hearers only. So we thank you for your Holy Spirit that lives in every believer. We thank you for the blood of Jesus that still works. We thank you that you have and hold all power in heaven and in earth is in your hands. You are the great I am. You are everything that we need. So we ask that you will continue to bless us individually, and then as a corporate body of believers, those of us that are, and we all are still growing in you. We're still growing in your word. Our faith is still being increased day by day and being renewed day by day. So we thank you that through your Holy Spirit, we are being drawn closer to you so that we can be better followers of your son, Jesus Christ, be better doers of your word, and become better assets to the kingdom of God here on earth, that you will continue to be glorified through us individually and then as a corporate body of believers. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, remember, as I always let you all know, and it's the truth, I love you, but guess what? God loves you even more. So until the next time, continue to be blessed of the Lord. Good night.